I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This week on Yankee and the Brave.
Back at it like a crack addict. Mr. Black Magic, crack a beast back. Chiropractic, craftmatic, big daddy smoking big. Cali in a black alley in a black granddaddy. Rolling down old natty how. Napping Maddie as a black granddaddy. All back, no capping, fat black. Boat captain, stay floating, no flapping. Wave runner, I'm a gunner. I'ma have your block hot as a sauna all summer. And I put that on Osama and my motherfucking mama. I'ma terrorize the actors playing like they.
This is going to be a great episode.
It's like when you take sips of things.
Welcome back to another brand new episode of Close Enough.
Hello.
Abby is...
I'm a survivor.
Let's put on a percentage. Remember the time that you fell and your ankle
always
wasn't...
I always put things on a percentage. I'm going to go with like... I feel like an 86 right now.
86?
Yeah.
That's, I mean, your 86 is better than some people's 92s.
Better
than my 92.
My head is still, the sinus pressure is pretty rough.
The C word has finally hit.
COVID.
That's one C word.
Well.
So last week, it all started last week. I think last Saturday night, we hung out. We started watching Ozark. Mm-hmm. Then Sunday, Abby started having some pain and what she thought was from her dental. She had a cavity filled.
Mm-hmm. Now, that was Friday.
Yeah, but you were having pain. Yeah. Then.
Yeah, I legit thought, like, I distinctly remember being in the chair and I was like, they put the shot in my jaw. I was like, that hurt my ear. I don't think that should hurt my ear. But I guess it was just all, like, sinus problems and stuff. And I know, like, right now everybody has sinus issues, but it got pretty rough. And then I woke up Tuesday with a little sore throat.
Mm-hmm. I was gone. I had to go to training on Tuesday. So Abby was also burdened with, you know, the stuff that I normally do.
Okay. By the end of day Tuesday, I picked up the kids, got them in the car, and I just was progressively...
Downhill fast.
Awful. Just feeling awful. And just for shits and giggles, I want to note that I put in a Walmart click list order to get like snacks and stuff and food for the kids. I went to go pick it up and we sat for 35 minutes and we never sit that long at our Walmart. And I go to check everything again. Like, do I have the date right? Did I get the time right? Because sometimes I have put an order in, and I didn't put it all the way through, and I went to go pick it up, and it wasn't even, like, a thing.
Yeah.
I put the order in, and it went through, but it was in Moorhead, which is 35 minutes away from us. So.
Which it defaulted to that, I guess.
I don't know what happened. Moorhead. I'd been messing with stuff, and I think I just, because I was trying to get Charlie a vaccination.
Yeah.
But anyway, so.
A booster. Charlie's vaccinated.
Yeah.
Get a booster shot.
So just the moment of sitting in that car, Harlan yelling out numbers randomly of all the other people, like all the other parking spots.
That's funny.
Charlie bitching and moaning because we were not getting our stuff in time. I was miserable and could not get home fast enough. And I just went and laid in bed and I was like,
And this would be a theme for the rest of the week.
Yeah. Thought maybe it's just strep or something. This isn't. So I went and got COVID tested, and she's like, honey, you've got the COVID.
Like, that's not where the fun ends, though.
I was like, well, shit. So I was okay. I was fine. I called Gary. I have it. I'm going home. We'll figure this stuff out. I wait for our school nurse to call because at this point, no one is doing contact tracing. Like, contact tracing is so hard.
Like, even our health department's like, hey, if you got it, just fill out this form.
Can you call us?
Yeah.
Can you just let us know? So I talked to our nurse who's doing it through there, and when she states the date that Harlan, who is not vaccinated, at this point, no symptoms, that he has to stay in quarantine.
Till February 10th.
I was like, days?
I get a text message. It says, fuck, fuck, fuck. And I was like, and I was on the phone. I was like, I was like, is that good or bad? She's like, it's bad. Call me.
Because I don't, in my head, I cannot process. Number one, I'm not sure like what my quarantine status is. I was so focused on the
kids. And you feel bad.
Right. I legitimately on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday felt pretty awful. Mm-hmm. Not Tuesday. I'm sorry. Wednesday, Thursday.
You looked amazing, though.
Thank you. Thank you. You're a liar.
I've been hardcore flirting with Abby.
You feel awful, and he's still flirting with me.
Take notes, husband.
I can't even, like, keep my eyes open.
I've never seen Abby sleep like this.
It's crazy.
But she slept perfect during the day. At night, she's sleep. Like a baby. She had her day. Like, I woke up one night and she's sitting there on her phone. I'm like, Also, by the way, there's no isolation. We slept in the same bed.
Yeah. I mean, Tuesday night, I'm testing myself in our bedroom, and we have Harlan and Charlie. Like, they've already been around me. Harlan's already slept, you know, beside me Tuesday. So I'm thinking, like, what's the odds of this? Gary just gets in bed. I'm like, I might have COVID. And you're like, oh, well.
COVID's not real.
And so the next day when he goes to get Harlan, because I am positive, I'm like, wait. Are we like, do I need to go to the bed? Like, am I isolating in the bedroom? What's our plan? We didn't talk about this.
I mean, we'd already been around each other. So
he was like, So there was no isolation. Not that, like, we were ignoring it. I just, in our home, it's...
Well, with a four-year-old, anyway, it's hard.
Super obsessed with me.
Yeah.
Like, where's mom? When he knows I'm here. So it was just, I don't know. And there's, I don't know how you tell him, you know. But actually, as a matter of fact, we had him tested. Not a single symptom.
Nothing.
I think he's had like a runny nose. And that's it. I've heard him cough like 3 times.
Probably because he's choking on something.
Right. He ran a little too fast, got a little winded.
Yeah.
And
so what day was that? I guess it was Friday.
That was Friday.
Take him in, positive. I was like, well, shit. Charlie.
Who has swore she has had every symptom.
She is, her friends have tested positive. Now Abby's tested positive. She is really missing out on this COVID train. So she's, you know, on her deathbed. Take Harlan. I got to go to Mount Sterling Pediatrics. They come out, worst experience of my life, but they come, he's positive, you know. I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah. Drive off. Make an appointment for like 2 hours later, take Charlie back. And so they check Charlie, negative.
Nothing.
Meanwhile, Charlie and I both had negative at-home tests.
Okay, to be fair, you did not do your at-home test correctly. Like, I said very distinctly, Gary, there's a lot of
swirling
and steps to this one. Make sure you read those directions first. I'm watching him read directions as he goes, and I'm like, no, like, had this been, like, chemist, he is not.
I'll agree with you there. I'm not
he was just swirling. And
Claudia and like, Hicks, God rest her soul, it didn't stick on me.
I said, did you even put that in both your nostrils? No, was it supposed to? It didn't say that. It did. It had a picture of two nostrils, and you've been COVID tested how many times?
I've been COVID tested so many different ways. Like, today was just one nostril. Anyway, really? Charlie's negative. I tried to get a test. It was 3 days. Well, it was 2 days. Yeah. I tried on Friday. I got in today. And I'm negative.
Yeah.
But I attribute that to being a beacon of health.
First of all, the fact that I get COVID And to be fair, I'm around a lot of kids, a lot of kids right now. And like, you know, the safety measures, I wear my mask, all of these things, but I get COVID. I was going to be so pissed if you got COVID, if you were tested positive today.
Why?
Because that would have given you 5 days at home, right, from today. I got no days off by myself. I had a...
I was with you every day.
Except the one day.
I was gone half a day, which it doesn't matter. You slept the whole time. Abby woke up. She's like, I just woke up. Harlan woke me up wanting some lunch.
I was awake, but I would be awake and I'd be asleep and I'd wake back up. It was wild. The sleeping is wild. I have to confess that I fell asleep when Harlan laid down with me after dinner. Like, it's these like little... I keep doing these little like 20-minute naps. All that, I just pass out. I don't know. It's very unlike me.
Wow, I'm missing out on the at-home quarantine. I mean,
but I thought you were going to get quarantined,
and then you and him would have to go back. And then
Harlan and I would go back, and you'd get to stay home alone. And you're not even sick. But I was legit sick.
Jealousy's not a good look.
Jealous. I was going to be pissed. I was like, of course, Gary would get quarantined. Feels fine. Not a symptom one.
Honestly, though, as soon as Abby told me she had, my body completely was like, oh, you got it too. I was like, man, I think I got a fever. Like, I came home that day. I was like, oh my God, what? I was anticipating it. But like I said, I'm a beacon of health.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what we've done had we both been sick.
We had to send Charlie somewhere else.
What do we do with Harlan?
I mean, he's going to have to fend for, he's old enough to fend for himself. He knows where the food's at. If we teach him how to work a remote control, we basically raised him to his peak.
He did get on my phone and switch some stuff up. Like, he's learning a lot. He can unlock the Kindle. He knows the passcode of that, is insane to me. But yeah, it is. We have it. It's all good. I'm glad that I did have, you know, my vaccination. If, you know, I heard some other people say, they were like in public light, say before, like they felt guilty telling people like, oh, it was, you know, it was not, you know, bad. Like, I skirted any type of, you know, hospitalization or anything like that. But they feel like they shouldn't say like, it's not that bad, because I feel it sounds irresponsible.
Yeah.
But I don't like to be sick. So I'm going to, like, when people ask me, I hate being sick. I just still don't like the congestion to it. I don't like the headache and the
they
sleep.
They offered me a flu shot today.
Did you still haven't got a flu shot?
I don't get flu shots.
Oh. I had that too. I was kind of hoping it was just the flu. But.
So, yeah. But it's been so much to talk about. So many things.
So many things. So many things are happening.
We start the new week with Abby and Harlan in quarantine. And then, like, I feel like February, as a short month, has so much going on.
We do have a lot going on. January felt like forever.
It always didn't does. For me. It felt like it was started yesterday. It felt like we were at the Stokes' for New Year's yesterday.
But I feel like our school has been, we've also had snow for the first time.
We also had no routine. Like, you know, yes. Like we've had no set routine.
I don't know that I've taught a full week of school since Christmas break, so that's a problem.
This whole year,
this whole year,
yeah.
So I cried. Like, that was one of the reasons I cried when they told me, is I had this huge week planned for school of things that I needed to get accomplished, and I was kind of pumped to get my kids on this routine, and I go home Wednesday, and I was like, well, crap, I don't know what to do. I can't. Like, I feel like I'm letting, you know, people done at my job, but you can't work. I contemplated Zooming with my kids. I couldn't stay awake. Like, I couldn't do it.
Yeah. Like, you're sick. That's why you have...
I know.
Pay time off to be sick.
I know. So we're going to start February, and I'm like, can we get this routine going?
Yeah. That's... So I'm on the organizational side of things, as we talked about our intentions for the new year.
Mm-hmm.
Abby and I have sat down weekly and looked at our planners and written down what's going on. Granted, midweek COVID hits and it throws everything kind of out the shitter.
We're like, well.
And like, I was joking at work. I was like, well, I'll get some COVID symptoms. I'll have to miss this training.
You did say that.
I said it openly to everybody. Like, I'm going to get out of this.
You're welcome, honey.
Yeah.
I got COVID to get you out of training.
But the responsible me, you know, I'm in a classroom with 40 people plus instructors. Abby, first thing I do is put my mask on.
You should have had it on to begin with, dummy.
No.
Oh, okay. I don't know what putting it on did. That
I didn't do nothing. I was just sitting there thinking.
So you're so responsible.
Super responsible.
So responsible. Modicum of responsibility right here.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm glad you're feeling better, though.
Thank you.
I was worried in the beginning. I was like, if she gets sick, I swear to God, flying to Wuhan, China.
Shut up. I was very concerned about the status of my home while I was sick.
Leapt into action.
The first night, Thursday night. No, it's not the first night.
Wednesday night.
Whatever. What night did mom start bringing shit over?
Wednesday.
My mom just loads up a bunch of stuff into the car and brings it to the house.
Abby was a victim of starvation.
Is what it looks like.
She was not going to be a victim of starvation.
Enough vitamins and supplements and teas to exceed my daily vitamin requirement by like 7 times.
I've just been randomly going through, grabbing a few, popping them. Do you know what that's for? Nope. I mean, they're vitamins. They ain't going to hurt me.
Questionable, but whatever. So she brings all this food and stuff. One thing she did bring was pizza. And
oh my God.
No, it had to be Wednesday that she deals. So she brings all this pizza and I go into the bedroom, I think, and I had been asleep. I come back out and Harlan, it's been hours. That pizza's been out for a while. And I'm like, is he still eating pizza? And you're like, he's had that same piece forever. And I look over at the couch and he's got like crusts stacked up. And I'm like, what about these? And he was like, they're watching The Simpsons. Gary and Charlie are oblivious that Harlan's just sitting there hanging out.
We're just vibing, you know? Really, it's just a vibe. We were just in the zone.
That's night one. I'm like, well, hell.
To be fair, I gathered up all the trash, cleaned the table off, swept.
I love it. Thank you.
And then as soon as Abby gets to feel better, what's on her agenda? She's scrubbing the shower out.
It was filthy. I've been wanting to do this for a while. I was home. I feel weird when Harlan wants to go take a bath in there with us and so dirty on the floor. And I'm like, ugh.
He took a shower with me today.
Yeah.
Listen, guys, if you would have seen this little bastard, he first of all, he got himself a water, opened it, pours it into a glass. And we're in trouble because he chugged it like full on, just chugged it. Puts it down and then just shimmies, just like, whoa. Like he's motorboating something. I mean, just, I thought, and it was and he didn't think nothing of it. He's just chilling.
Nope. He's something else.
It's been, I don't know. But thanks to everybody. We had some great friends drop some stuff off. We've had plenty of phone calls and stuff. My boss texted me tonight checking on everybody. Yeah. Told her I was going to survive, but
I love that people reach out and like some friends dropped off some stuff, but Gary thinks I'm weird that I get this like weird like guilt is the thing. I don't know what
is it because
or I'm like
we're not those people. Listen, to all of our friends that listen to this podcast, we love you more than anything. We're not the people that's going to be like, oh, you need a bowl of soup or something like that. You know,
I feel like I do when I can.
I don't know. You know, but know that if you need something, we will be there.
But
we're not
like,
much on volunteering.
I don't think that's true. So when people like drop things off, I get so weird or like get, it's the same feeling I get like toward gifts and stuff. So people have been like, can I bring you anything? Nope. Nope. We got it under control. Like, I hate that. I don't know. I'm so weird and awkward about it. I think that's it. It's just because I'm awkward. And I'm like, thank you so much. And then, like, do I need to do more? What else should I do? But I've always been like that. And, like, I just thought I would grow out of it. But apparently I have not. And It just makes me.
I like. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. If someone says, "Hey, can I bring?" Yeah, you know, my favorite $10 scratch off ticket is this. Or, and
that's what you would say.
I don't know. I like that. Yeah, I'm the same way. You need something? No, I don't need anything.
No, I don't want to. I definitely do not want to inconvenience anybody. Like that is the. My mantra is like, I'll just do it myself. I don't want to put you out, and we'll figure it out. And basically, like with ClickList, and you were able to get out, and like we didn't need to go get anything.
No.
I didn't have to go get anything.
No, we weren't going to starve.
No, no. My mom made sure of that. I mean, there's a tote. She brought a tote of chips.
A tote, yeah.
Of chips and snacks. And I was like, okay, it's we have COVID, not like.
So what does one do as you're laid there, as you're laying around wondering about your health? Let me answer that for you. We watched Ozark.
We did.
And let me tell you.
I love Ruth.
My nerves can't. There's a reason that I always want to know what happens. I do not like those uneasy moments. Because in real life, in uneasy moments, I can mirror that back and make you uneasy. I can't do that to Marty Bird.
I feel like you need to sit with this and really explore this.
Listen, I don't know.
Like you, like the vulnerability it takes to be uncomfortable.
I don't like. I mean, nobody likes to be uncomfortable.
But great point. However, much growth can happen in like feeling and understanding and tuning
into.
Tell
me more, Dr. Peterson.
Well, I'm just saying. Charlie's like that too, though. I've said this before here, I think, that she does not like, especially in moments of like secondhand embarrassment, she will turn away or stop watching or fast forward shows. But she also like looks things up. So neither of you really manage
our vulnerability well.
No, it's interesting.
I get so, only a couple of shows have ever done that.
What's the other one?
The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, yeah. We had to quit
so
watching.
So intense.
I watched that and read the book whilst pregnant.
Hey, listen, you would be a handmaid right now.
It was intense. There's only one part that I really had to stop watching, or like I turned away on Ozark. It was the last episode. The last part.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, I get uncomfortable, but I don't get so uneasy that, like, we stopped watching it one night. You're like, that's it. I can watch no more of this tonight. I could have kept watching.
Yeah, no.
I've gone back and actually started rewatching.
Yeah.
Listen,
it's a great show.
I was trying to think of that. Like, it has, especially if you go back from the beginning,
you gotta think there's nothing positive portrayed in the show.
No. Mm-mm.
Like it is all, I mean, if you haven't watched Ozark and you plan to, maybe fast forward a little bit, but I feel like by now people have at least watched the first three seasons maybe. If they're into it. Maybe. If not, I highly recommend it, but it is so, the premise, Marty Bird, an accountant, launders money for a Mexican drug cartel. He's in debt to them. His partner, who gets murdered in like the first episode, mm-hmm. was a snitch to the FBI. They kill him, and now Marty's forced to do this. Where does he go to do this? The Ozarks.
So I think,
and it gets crazy.
Like I look at shows like Breaking Bad did really well, and it was good, but it didn't have that. Like you could empathize really well, I think, with Walter White, just because he was like an average guy. He was a teacher, but his family didn't get involved mm-hmm. as much as in the Ozark. This becomes
everybody's involved,
right? This becomes a drama, not just in of the criminal components that they're involved in, but the family dynamics and the drama within the family is a big part of this. Which maybe I don't know. I've not watched The Sopranos. Maybe that has a similar,
not as much
theme, but the kids and the mom. Dad, like all of that become very.
They all have a.
And it touches on so many things, not just the cartel, drugs, money laundering, but, you know, these later seasons have had like some political
mm-hmm.
telling kind of got like that, a little touch of that. God, what was that? Shit. The president show that I watched there for a while.
Oh, with Kevin Spacey?
Yeah. Damn it. I can hear the theme song to it right now. Anyway, it's got, you know, some of that into it. You've got the whole rural community, opioid, you know, drug scene happening with...
It has it all, guys. Yeah, it's amazing.
It has everything. Going back to the first episode, you forget how many characters have come and gone through this thing. There's a lot.
There's the gay FBI agent. I forgot about him.
I just got to that episode. I was like, oh, I forgot about him.
Where he takes the guy fishing.
Uh-huh. That's why I just watched that. I was watching it while I was... I needed something... While I was folding laundry, I have to have something in the background kind of going on that I can pay attention to, but also not pay attention to.
Yeah. So that was our entertainment of choice.
Yeah.
Then Charlie ended up watching the last episode with us.
Sort of, yeah.
Kind of, yeah. She didn't know what was going on, but Ruth, Julia Gardner is the actress that plays Ruth.
I love her.
Her emotion in that. The last 10 minutes of the episode, you're like, oh, my God.
So it's become a TikTok sound. And I love it. Gonna have to kill me. It's great. Charlie asked if she could watch it, but I just don't. 100%. I think with the Walking, like when we let her watch Walking Dead, there were like some moral dilemmas and stuff that I felt like occasionally would turn out in such a way that... Like, she was getting this good versus evil. Not a lot of that happening.
All evil versus... I mean, I wouldn't say, like, the birds are evil, but they are...
I don't know how it ends because we have gone so...
It was all a dream. It was all a daydream when Marty was out there picking the flowers.
Yeah. I'm not sure how this winds up because you've gone on this trip with this family for so long and you're kind of in... You know, you like them, but you don't at the same time. So they've done a lot of bad things.
I feel like that's so in movies, like those good movies are hard to come by now because everything's like a superhero movie or something like that.
Yeah.
But that room for like, I don't know, something you can flesh out. More emotional drama or something like that.
Right.
It's harder to, I don't know if it's harder to pitch, harder to make, what it is.
Well, you know, I think just in general in society right now, the, you know, binary thinking of like it's good or it's bad.
Yeah.
You can't live there anymore at all. And even though that's exactly how everybody wants to live, it's simplistic, but... I don't think our movies can reflect that anymore, but maybe that's what why people seek, you know, a more a superhero type film or those films do good.
I need a hero.
It's just to have kind of suspend that reality for a moment and know what to expect with it.
Yeah.
And be okay with, you know, that the superhero, the good guy has to win, right?
You'd think so.
Did that happen in the Spider-Man? Did the good guys win?
With a twist, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but I've got to go to the doctor this week.
Mm-hmm.
I had a good chat with my doctor. Talked about many issues, and he said I had to go have blood work done. I said, listen, in short of you finding something that's going to kill me in the next 2 weeks, don't call. Don't call and tell me I need to come in. He's like, why? I said, the last time you did this, I was convinced I was going to die, and you called me in here for a vitamin D deficiency, and...
You did not tell me this.
I did. I swear I did. I said, I'm in no position where I'm going to get rickets or anything like that. So, if my vitamin D is zero, don't call me. And he was like, all right.
Oh, my God. But you still have to go back for a follow-up.
Yeah, to go over my blood work and stuff.
Okay. All right. You stress me out.
He hasn't called, so.
I mean, you told him not to.
Unless someone was going to kill me.
Oh, my God.
And even then, I'd probably just send it to voicemail. I don't know. You never think about like your own mortality as you get. We were talking today. We still feel young. Like we talked about if we were just young again. I still feel young. Now, then whatever internalization of youth that I have, it's probably more along the lines of maturity and not like feeling young. Yeah.
That's it. There's a difference. That is a different thing.
But then I'm like, man, we're talking about some hypertension, like need to lose some weight. Like, come on, dog. You know I'm good for it. I'm good another 20 years. I'll be all right. Like, No. So it just sucks. Sucks getting old.
It does. It's okay. We're still young at heart.
I was talking to Charlie about college yesterday when we went to lunch, and I'm like, holy shit, she's going to be in college in like 4.5 years.
I just want to point out that I say these things to you all the time, and you ignore me.
I'm somebody that has to find out on their own. Okay. Yeah.
All right, because I've mentioned a lot, like, we get 4 more summers with her, basically, as ours. So, like, let's make sure we're, you know, being very intentional and...
I'll tell you what's an intentional thing. Never mind.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with you?
I saw... I think, who was it?
I don't know.
I forgot. Shit. Anyway.
Look. Are you losing your mind?
I'm losing everything. My body, my mind, everything's crumbling.
Is this COVID fog?
I didn't have COVID.
Are you getting my symptoms?
You rubbed off on me.
I think I've had COVID fog since like 2018, so I'm not really worried about that part of it. What were you going to say?
I don't remember. All right, just let me be. Let me be. This is a live show.
Oh, my God. You edit this out? You're losing your mind.
I don't know. It's...
Listen.
Welcome to Close Enough. Take two. Cut. Harlan's in the cut.
Oh, God.
So we were going to record last week, and Abby had some topics she wanted, and it had to revolve around things that she thought were true.
I don't realize how many I've sent you.
You know, or things that she knew to be like a truth or myth that she actually believed in.
Like, there are just some things.
For instance.
Hang on. Go ahead.
Dyed toilet paper would give you a UTI. I've never heard that in my life.
Okay.
And I've never seen dyed toilet paper.
Somebody put...
We got like blue toilet paper. Somebody
got okay, hang on.
All right.
Transition. You were talking about getting old. I have been seeing tons of this like nostalgic like photos on Facebook. I don't know what it is, but people are posting like, remember these, or you know your... I must have joined a meme group, and that's sort of the thing, like 90s kids or something.
We are not in the same meme groups.
And they posted a picture of toilet paper, and it was like yellow, pastel purple, pastel blue, pastel pink.
Have you seen that in real life?
Yes.
Where?
At the store, and I always wanted it. Mom was like, no, that would probably give you like a UTI. And I was like, makes sense.
Oh.
Makes sense. Like dyes and stuff. You just couldn't. But I'm a female, you're not. So you probably didn't have a lot of UTI conversations growing up.
No. Still never had one, actually.
You haven't? They're awful. They are the worst.
I mean, I can remember story time.
Oh, God.
We go on our honeymoon. We are on our way to Puerto Rico, and Abby's in excruciating pain.
I was dying.
And we couldn't get home fast enough to hear to the doctor to find out she had a UTI. Uh-huh. Which turns out happens a lot on honeymoons.
Did you stop?
Use your imagination as to why.
Uh-uh.
Is this all the sand?
I hate you with everything in my
life. Also, when we went on our honeymoon, Abby got her hair braided. Do you remember that?
Yes. What does that have to do with anything?
That just was recalling our honeymoon.
Also on our honeymoon, Gary lost his wedding ring. Is this what we're going to do? Is this the segment of the also on our honeymoon?
I'm talking about your hair get braided. You're going to throw me losing my wedding band.
You did. You lost our wedding
band. Oh, you got your hair braided. All right. And got a UTI.
That's it. That's all you got.
That's all I got. That's the extent of the trip. 7-day cruise.
I would not see Gary happen. For days, and I was out sitting by the pool. Gary, where are you? Gambling.
It's not true. I do recommend, though, if you do take a long cruise, like 7 days, you take friends with you.
Yes.
It's not, I mean, we were honeymoon on our honeymoon, but there were so many things to do.
And those days at sea, you're just so.
Yeah. And everybody's on the boat then.
Yeah. There's ice cream by
24/7.
That's all I remember.
Yeah.
No, I was just thinking.
Would you go on a cruise in the day and age of COVID?
No, I don't know that I would go on a cruise now.
Really?
No, like of all the things.
Like a Disney cruise.
No.
What about an Alaskan cruise?
No, maybe. Nope. I think I would just go to Alaska instead. Like, I think in the day and age of like now, just go out and see shit. Like, I don't know that I need a cruise to make that happen. You know? Okay. I don't know.
I mean, if that's would how you feel, go ahead. Fuck yeah, I'd go tomorrow.
I don't know. I don't know about it.
I don't know how
far
I enjoyed it. Just having everything at your fingertips.
Maybe.
Right, you know. And then as part of that, you got to go out for a day and see some new place.
Mm-hmm.
We went to a nude beach, and turns out it was like, imagine Clearfield, Kentucky had sand there. That's where we were at.
Not nice.
The second part of our trip, we went to this beautiful, and I mean gorgeous, natural preserve, like coral. It was beautiful. You could almost see to the bottom of the water, so clear.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out, we disturbed maybe the largest colony of jellyfish ever. And within minutes, people were screaming.
During their mating season.
Yeah. So. Turns out it was my mating season, too.
You're an idiot. Shut up. I can't.
But so, and we started picking excursions based on the availability of alcohol.
Rum punch.
It was all rum punch.
Rum punch.
So anyway, yeah. back to memories. Whatever. That we remember.
Memories.
That
are, I definitely would not go on a cruise now. I think now that you asked me.
No showers or telephone calls during a thunderstorm.
Yeah, was that a thing?
Not that I remember.
No one ever told you to, like, get off the phone during a thunderstorm.
I don't recall that ever coming up. No.
Absolutely, could not be on the phone during the thunderstorm, and you could not take a shower. I swear that's a thing.
Okay.
I swear that's a thing. You never heard that?
Yeah.
I think like the lightning could come through and strike you or could like strike something on the house and then there you are in a conductor. I don't know. But I am still a little hesitant to like take a shower when it's storming. And Charlie will still like
pass that on to her.
I didn't mean to. I think my mom and dad actually told her that. So. And you got to get out of a pool in water.
Because you're outside.
I don't know.
What if you're talking on the phone and taking a shower at the same time?
You shouldn't do that. You should not do that.
Peeing in the pool?
You know when you were little.
If you peed, it changed color.
You know you believe that.
Like, yeah.
Like,
when somebody's like, oh, that's not true. I'm like, no, that's true.
For real.
My cousin's like, seen it.
Yeah, you know, like completely, but there was no
time. I've never peed in a pool, though. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
right, but there was no time in your life that, like, no one ever came to you and said, like, listen, that whole pee in the pool thing, that's not real. Like, you just have to, like, gradually, like, oh. So
they
were lying about that? Well, isn't that in a movie, though? They did do that. Is that Grown Ups or something? Is that what it is?
I can't remember.
I distinctly, there's a scene in my head where a guy's peeing and it's like a bright blue around him. Maybe I made that up, but I don't know. There's just all these little things that you learn when you're little and nobody ever tells you
any different.
And so they just assume you grow out of that truth or they don't come back. And I did this to a friend one time, sort of this thing. I can't remember why. We used to always like, we had this certain friend and we would tell her, she came to high school later, like our freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
And we would just always tell her stupid stuff all the time. And for some reason, no clue why, I don't know why people like prank the way they do, but we were sitting on the basketball bench during a game. And for some reason, unprompted, we just decide to tell her that my brother's adopted. And she, or we have told her this story, like that he's adopted. Another friend was
like, it's like when Dwight tells Holly that Kevin's retarded.
Yes. Maybe. I don't know. I think he had a motivation then. He was like trying to, maybe I was
right, but, anyway, what was your motivation besides no meanness?
Nothing. And so we have said this, totally forgot that we said this. And I think they even went so far as like when I wasn't around to be like, hey, don't talk about it. Like she doesn't like to talk about it.
So dumb.
I mean, we're with her every day and then we're sitting on the bench and he's across from me. And she's like, you guys look so much alike. I know you don't like to talk about it, but I can't get over how much you guys look alike. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
You didn't know? You didn't know they said?
Yes, I knew, but I had forgotten. Oh. I was like, what are you talking about? She was like, I just can't believe your brother is adopted. It just is insane how much you all look alike. And he looks like your mom and dad. And I was like, what? She's like, you all said he was adopted. I was like, he's not adopted. Why did we? But she had gone forever thinking that.
Yeah.
And what if, like, what if she never ballsed up to say, I can't believe that in that moment for me to, she this day, to this day would be like, I just can't believe that guy.
I just.
That he's so.
Your kids even look like him.
Like, your kid looks just like him. Adoption's wild, man.
So as a young adult working with, I've always up until a certain point worked with older people, mm-hmm. and then I was the older
You're
person.
The older
like
person
it's the whole full cycle.
If you look around,
yeah,
just letting you know.
Yeah, I don't know how good of a role model I am for.
I think that too. I think about all the amazing role models I've had, and I'm like, I am not fulfilling my role.
Well, one of the things. Is if you look throughout your career or your life, there's always been a good mentor, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I have never embraced the role of a mentor because, no, I'm like to teach somebody, it's like I will pass on nuggets of wisdom, right? But
nuggets of wisdom.
It was always easier for me to just do whatever the task was myself than to try to.
Oh, I see what you're saying, like training someone.
Like train somebody and then, you know, like.
Okay, I'm with you.
So, like, I'm in that situation now. And it's 90% of me just harassing this guy. And then 10%, there's some serious, like, passing on some wisdom.
Yeah.
But, like, one of the things, I don't know what it is I find myself buying his lunch a lot. And he's like, why won't you let me pay? I was like, because there's going to come a day when the roles will be reversed. And you're the guy that's going to be here for 20 years. There's going to be some new guy. And you do it then.
Yes.
Like, that's when you do it. Because people did that for me. Like, that was, right. That's one of the things, like, you know, like, and just kind of explaining, like, the culture of the environment that I work in. You know, like, he was really worried about people leaving. And which is natural, but for me, when I started 22 years ago, like my first big disappointment was when a lot of people left. And I was like, oh, what are we going to do? Like, these are my friends. Well, you know.
Yeah.
And some you'll stay in contact with forever, and some, you know, will just be a happy acquaintance when you cross paths on down the road. But he was worried, like, this whole section is going to shut. And I was like, oh, no. Like, they won't even have their desk cleaned out before the next guy's here. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, the world doesn't stop.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I always felt like, you know, when I left Post, it's going to be hard for them to keep going.
It turns out,
like, 12 years later.
Still open.
Still there.
Yep. It's crazy how you get stuck in that mindset of, and to be fair, like, the jobs that we both have, you know, within service and stuff. They can keep going. And apparently
It took me a long time to realize, like, having a job, like, being in that job is important. my job is has its importance, but my, like, you know, the first 10 years, if they called, I would go. If I had to stay late, I would never take a sick day. I would, you know, Charlie was a baby, and I would call my mom at 5 o'clock in the morning, or whatever. So yeah. And now, granted, the situation's changed a little bit, but listen, a hint of a headache and I'm okay with staying home.
Is that a snowflake I see? Better not get
out. The barometer dropped a little bit. You know what that means. But, and then, like, those, a lot of that is the benefits that they never write on paper.
Yeah.
Right? Like, right. Somebody said this, and as a joke, but it really is true, especially in my, it's not what I do, it's what I'm prepared to do.
Right.
So, like, if I got a phone call from work right now and I needed to work, I could work.
Yeah.
You know.
So, we have been, in my career right now, been faced with this whole, like, shortage in our job, right? And so, right. The difference being, you know, we have, a program where if a teacher cannot come in, we call a sub, okay? In the past, that has been a huge population of retired teachers or just retired educators.
Or people early in their college career.
Early in their college career, probably going to be a teacher most of the time. Every now and then you get some people who
just try to make a few bucks.
Right. And they're going to sub and decent job. And, so now a lot of the retired teachers were not coming back into the classroom, just obviously for their own safety. We have in fact had a teacher shortage. So multiple long-term subs have been hired as teachers, and we're in a situation where we don't have subs. So I think it was, is it
my time to shine?
Well, is it Oklahoma? There's a state that's like, any state worker, you are now qualified to be a sub. Come in and you can.
Did somebody call the National Guard?
That's a thing. So now it's like, parents, can you come in and sub? So it's like anybody. So we joke,
I'm
like,
I'm going to teach you Kirk Rice there, Dill.
Stop. We joke about, not joke, but we say, like, the job, like, you can walk away from your job and they're going to find a position to fill it. Not really.
No, yeah.
And so it is a little, I don't know if, like, insulting or demeaning. I don't know what it is. It's not sitting well with me that we're like, anybody can come in.
Anybody can do this job.
Anybody can do this job. And I'm a little like,
again, my time to shine.
Okay, so anybody can come in and be a warm body, but you can't do that because I'm sitting at home sick, having to stay up late. And that's kind of how my cycle of staying up late started, is the first couple of nights I stayed up late to write sub plans.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sleepy. Like, that was the problem, number one.
God, did you, looking back when we were in school, when we had subs, it never flowed with, like, whatever we were learning at the time.
Which, that's a really good point. I've never thought of that. I can't remember one sub plan anyone ever left. And I think I leave sub plans with some sort of expectation that kids think, like, they're going to remember what the hell I left them to do. But
yeah,
you're right.
But I mean, it was like you watch a movie, or it was read the chat, whatever it is.
It was, hey, can I go to this other room? Yes. Like 90% of the night. So anyway, that's the state of things right now. And it's very frustrating because I really was going to Zoom one day with the kids just because it literally would have been easier for me just to.
You had to wear a mask if you didn't.
Turn on a camera and talk to kids through a video, then write down everything is that I need them to do.
Right.
But
to be fair, you make videos for them. You record yourself.
Yes. I've been doing videos since.
I want to do that for my funeral.
We had a MacBook. This was like, we were living in Moorhead. Moorhead. And I remember sitting in the, Charlie was a baby. I remember sitting, no, we lived in Bath County. I was sitting in our bedroom. like hiding in a corner so nobody could make a sound as I read a book aloud and did voices and everything so the kids could read the watch the video. And it was so innovative. Like, nobody was doing this. And I was posting it to the school webpage. It's the old, we didn't have Google Classroom or anything. I'd posted it to the school webpage and have to leave, like, this long list to the sub of, like, how to get to the school webpage for her to show.
Yeah, but you put it on YouTube, too.
And I put it on YouTube, but they would not know the link, you know.
Right.
Like, you.
And how many views has that got now?
Okay. I cannot access that. I don't know what account that's on.
Right.
But somehow it's linked to my school email, but not whatever I'm currently using. It's crazy. Tons of views.
Yeah, like tens of thousands.
Of me reading this book to kids that they were just reading.
Which is probably against some kind of terms of service. Oh,
I'm sure it is. So I kept thinking, like, somebody's going to shut this down for me. Like, at some point, YouTube will just shut it down because I've, like, violated, I've read somebody's book without their permission.
No.
No. Like, and I didn't know that, like, at that time, didn't know that you could list things, like, unlisted versus.
Yeah. Public.
Like, 95% of my videos are unlisted now that I put up for kids. They just have to have the link to it. Oh, my God. But I got this one video out there.
Harlan, one of his videos is unlisted now.
Is it unlisted now? But, yeah. So, yeah, leaving the videos and stuff. But I feel like they are so, like, over, like, just another teacher is out, you know. Like,
what just am I gonna another do? Teacher. Just what am I gonna another do? Teacher.
What am I going to do? I have been sharing my Wordle score with them, so who would have thought that would just be the little thing that...
I see Wordle everywhere, like on Twitter, or people post their...
Somebody that I follow...
knock on wood, I'm on like an 11-day streak or something. Awesome. I've never lost a Wordle.
A author that I really like, Sarah Bessie, she got the word on the first try the other day, and... she was like, I have no idea how, like, just
right. No it's idea. Funny, like, how you start processing which word. Like, I go between a couple different starter words. Yeah. Uh-huh. And depending on if the letters hit, then it's like, wait.
Yeah.
And then there's weird, like, I don't know. But the thing is, nobody shares the answer.
That is.
Like, I think somebody did in the beginning, and I think they got blistered.
Apparently a bot got on Twitter and did it, and like, or somebody, something happened on Twitter and it like pissed people off, but nobody shares.
You piece of shit. You gave it the Wordle. Cause you don't Wordle. If you just go to Google Wordle, it's a 5-letter word. You get 6 tries once a day. So it's not like this addictive thing. You can sit and play over and over and over and over again. It's one,
which I think there are some knockoffs that you can't.
Oh, I'm sure by now.
But I like that you only get to do it once a day. Yeah. I love that. I like the,
and it's in Britain, so, like, we could play tomorrow's right now.
Yeah.
But.
It's really cool. It's, like, part. Somebody said it's, like, the, what was, everybody was making bread at the start of the quarantine. Like, this is, like, we've now evolved into just everyone's playing Wordle. Like, that's where we are right now. Do you remember when everybody played, on Facebook? Because is it a Facebook game?
No. This guy created it for his kid or something.
And it's not an app.
It's not an app.
You just have to go to Wordle.
Go to Wordle.com or whatever.
Yes, and play it there. Because I couldn't figure out how people were playing it. Like, I was trying to download it as an app, and I'm like, where is it coming from?
Yeah, you just Google it.
And it's one of those games that, like, when people post it, there's no link to it.
No.
When you post, it's just there. It's a picture of it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of unusual in the way
that it's that organic.
Yeah. But back in the day when everybody played on Facebook, the farming thing, you did it.
I never, that doesn't sound
you
like
did.
Me.
You did.
I did play Farmtown.
Farmtown. It's insane to me. I could not understand that. You spent so much time doing that.
I wouldn't say a lot of time.
A lot of time.
A lot of people did too.
They did, but I was just.
If you can remember, Seth wrote out like a whole message to me in his cornfield or whatever.
I do.
Like, he put some time into it.
That sounds right. But, yeah.
What about the Bengals?
Bengals, yeah. I am legitimately excited for everybody that is excited. I don't
except know. Jason Ellis.
I'm excited for Jason Ellis. I don't care. I'm excited for everybody that is a fan and your team just won. That is awesome. I have nothing invested in this team whatsoever. I am not even going to pretend to be a bandwagon fan. Go Bengals. I'm going to cheer for you in the Super Bowl. But unfortunately, I don't even get to watch that.
Yeah. So Abby won't be around for the Super Bowl.
I am so pissed because I have never been more excited
for a halftime show
in my life.
Oh, it'll be on YouTube afterwards.
My life. I want to feel it while everybody else is watching it.
You're going to be live tweeting.
I want that communal experience. Like, my only prayer is that this waitress thing lines up, that intermission and halftime hit at the same time. What time is this show?
So your show starts like 7:30 and the game starts at 6:30, I think. So you're not going to make it.
I'm not going to make it. Maybe I can wear earbuds and watch on my phone.
Maybe
I could do that.
Oh, there's going to be replays, but I don't understand what you're saying.
But you know, like, there's something about seeing it live.
Yeah.
Like, what if it's like the Janet Jackson nip slip thing happens or something?
What if Mary J. Blige?
I don't need a nip slip, but like, what if there's that live moment and I'm going to miss it? You know what I'm saying? That, like, everybody
when
got
Tupac
to see
is resurrected.
Tupac's coming back, and I'm not going to get to see it live.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, this is probably the most excited for a halftime show since.
The commercial came out, and I was like,
oh, yeah.
Trying to get hype around Charlie, who was not feeling it whatsoever. And I was like, do you understand what this means?
Yeah.
Do you know this?
These are for people like me.
This is my people.
But it's crazy to me. Like the average 30-second time slot for an ad is like $5.5 to $6 million.
Yeah, I just, like, in today's society that
and Budweiser or Anheuser-Busch with all their brands is spending like $60 million just on Super Bowl ads.
That's crazy. That's
yeah. Who's
so what's
who's
the return
right
like
now?
Does it help? Do we know if it, like, is it profitable? Like,
yeah, I mean, I talked about this about the halftime show, because I don't think they get paid, or if they do, it's very minimal for this. But what the trend is, the next day on all the streaming services, it's like 100 times more listens than that.
Gotcha.
And you always remember the good ads. Like,
yes.
Did Danica Patrick in the GoDaddy ads want you to go make a website? No, but you knew when it was time, like, you would have that correlation.
Right.
For me, the best part's like the movies. Like, you know, yeah. Like seeing what movies are coming out. You're like, oh, God. But I don't know. I've not lost all interest in football. Like, I like watching it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, my team is the Eagles, and when they won the Super Bowl in 2018, like, that was the pinnacle, right? Like, they're boom, and then the whole franchise just fell apart.
Do you think your lack of interest has just been replaced with other things?
I'm for sure, you know, yeah. Like, it's not like Jason Ellis, I shit on him all the time about his teams, and he says, I don't have a team, which is fair. Like, I don't,
right?
I'm not invested in that, but it's all, like, so much other stuff to be interested in.
Right. I think for me, it is such a commitment to sit down and be a fan of something. We've talked about this before, that I just don't know that I have that time to, like, get to know players and get invested in that.
And they change all the time.
They do. I love people's fandoms, and I love that, like, you know, I will be a Kentucky fan no matter what, just because, or I'll be an MSU fan. I feel a little guilty. Like, I don't follow MSU, you know, and I should follow it a lot more, but it takes so much time to, like, read and figure out who's playing and what time and, you know, get to a game every now and then.
Well, it's hard. Like, being young, watching, like, pro sports, I was young and they were all older. And now it's kids playing.
Right.
You know, to be honest, like, it's kids playing. I'm like, fuck.
I wonder if, like, culturally, because I was raised, you know, you had a house that had a fandom. I, you know, grew up in a house.
My mom is Chicago Bulls.
Right. I grew up in a house where, you know, the world stops to watch football and basketball.
Yeah.
And Kentucky basketball. And
I cultivated all that on my own as far as football and
yeah.
And even my own taste in basketball.
Yes.
So
I wonder, like, I think about that and I think about the culture of my home and, you know, what that was like and, you know, events in our family being centered around a particular right. game.
Intertwined with that.
Yes. You know, gathering to do that. Like, we have not done that with Charlie in Harlan.
No.
Do they? Oh,
but Charlie in the Super Bowl, like, she knows that.
Right. She's very aware of that. So,
yeah.
You know, will that be something? I don't know. It's just a different
yeah.
component to her growing up than what, you know, we had. I think it's kind of interesting. That,
and but, Jude, I think in the 90s,
mm-hmm.
there your options on Sundays for, you know, very limited. Like, you right. had, it was football.
Uh-huh.
Saturdays was football, you know, during the fall. And now there's a million other things that can grab your attention.
Yeah.
So,
is that down? I wonder, you know, is just gathering around to do that not as popular anymore? Or is it just us? Or did we just like us. Not, did we just drop the ball on that one?
I think everybody has at least a fringe team. Mm-hmm. Like, there'll be a ton of bandwagon Bengals fans.
But I love it because there are people that are like legitimate, like, finally
yeah.
my team.
And I remember the last time they were in the Super Bowl.
I don't.
I remember Boomer Esiason. I remember the Icky Shuffle. Like, it's, there's a whole generation that has only grew up with them sucking.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, I remember right. they're like, yeah. it's all right.
Yeah. I bet it's you fun know. In Cincinnati, though, tonight. I bet it's really fun.
Yeah.
I love that. I mean, there's nothing more exciting. When Kentucky would win big games, I
watched the news, like the news feeds. It was shit going on, like State Street and all that.
Most recently, like Twitter yeah. and like to watch what's going on. I would love that stuff just because, I don't know, people gathering up, doing stuff together. And
mm-hmm.
that's fun. And
debauchery.
I don't know if I need that. I don't need.
I mean, everybody needs a little debauchery.
Is that a Gary Thomasism?
That's
just a yeah. little bit. Just a jag.
Abby was so excited about cleaning out our shower. She's like, go look at it. I was like, listen, I would take a shower in a pig trough. Like, I don't, that's not going to impress
just
me.
You. I think you're just nasty. It had just been gross. I don't know. Like, you know, like if shampoo like falls in there and it gets just.
Ugh, yeah.
I cannot stand that.
I do work better in a more well-organized, clean setting.
I have to have it. In fact, I am grateful because I had been looking at my desk for a week solid going, I have to clean this off. And just like in a fury on lunch Tuesday, I was looking for a paper, couldn't find it. So I just started like progressively cleaning things while I was talking and eating lunch. Thank the Lord, because I get put in quarantine and I can't go back up there. So I'm dying to know what that looks like while I'm gone, but that's a weird feeling. Is inevitably, no matter how sick I've been or what time of night it's been, I go up and put my own lesson plans together. And I at least like write on the board and send a message, but I felt so bad Tuesday, I couldn't do it. And just left it all there.
Just left it.
Just walked away. Which, it's a control issue, I know, and it's been okay. Been gradually able to let go, and we'll just pick up where we pick up, and it is what it is. They will not remember anything. We've had entire teachers, like, when we were in school, we just had teachers, like, leave halfway through the year. We made it. We're fine.
Are we, though?
It's no big deal.
Are we?
We are.
It's, again, getting older, it just all feels so different.
What?
Like seeing Charlie and the struggle she has and what, like, her school's hitting them.
It is.
It's just so foreign to me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
What do you mean? Like school?
Like school now, yeah. All the social media and, like, I don't know. It's just weird.
I will continually be grateful for the fact that we have still not broken down and got our phone yet.
Mm-hmm.
However, I do think there is some need for her to connect to friends and stuff when she can, and they all do it, you know, she'll get on her iPad and talk and stuff. But I was Saturday, it was like Saturday morning, whenever the last time I actually was out and about, and I worked out, and two friends were like having this conversation about like, okay, my kid's getting around, somehow she's bypassing the settings.
And you're like, hey, by the way, you can figure this out pretty quick.
Have you looked on TikTok yet? And I've not thought about, like, I've not had, because Charlie doesn't do this. She's got a password. She comes to me for the password. And 90% of the time, Gary has taken Charlie's iPod away from her, so she doesn't even have it.
Yeah, I roll with an iron fist.
Yeah, I just don't think he knows what else to do, so he just yells,
give me. That's true. I'm not.
You can tell when Gary is trying to dole out a punishment. He has no idea. Gary has taken holidays away before.
I'll take your birthday. Listen.
He wants to try to cancel Christmas.
I'll take your next 10 breaths away.
Like, I don't think you can cancel Christmas. He was like, we will not have Christmas. That's not a thing. Just stop. Are you going to take Easter? What calendar are we going to follow?
Halloween is off the fucking table, all right? Just
forget about Boxing Day, damn it.
That's so obscure.
That's just how it sounds when you're doling out punishment. Like, I want to be more, and I've worked, like, be more calculated, step back. Let's make punishment fit the crime.
I think, like, we should just beat him.
No. Gary just flies off the handle and says random shit. And I'm like, you got to stop. But anyway, they were going this whole, like, this is the kids are bypassing the settings. I'm like, go to TikTok and just Google or type in the search bar how to bypass it. I was 3 minutes in.
And
I was
like, you knew how to do it.
Okay, so FYI, if you're wanting to know, you just set the time zone to the Pacific time zone on your phone. And so the time limits don't apply anymore because now your phone's set to whatever, to turn off at a certain time. Not in that time anymore. So that was one way. There was another way you could, like, you could do something if you only had a minute left. There are other ways. So it's good to be relevant, but with, like, things like TikTok, people find out information so quickly.
Yeah.
Like, the way my kids can plagiarize, one of the ways that was really popular during all this virtual learning was you'd copy a paper, copy and paste.
Right.
Somebody else's essay, put it into Google Translate into Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Then take it out of Spanish, put it back into English, and turn it in. And now it's gone through that filter. It's just a little bit different enough that allegedly, like...
But if more than one people does it, how's it any different?
Because when you turn it in, like, the plagiarism checkers don't really know it. But what the kids don't know is when you go to read it, complete nonsense. And there's something else, I forget what it's called, that can do, like, very similar turn. It's like a paraphrase thing. But it even sounds awkward and weird. So I just don't try to do a lot of writing online because they cheat. Like, if you give them an assignment to cheat, they're going to cheat. But I don't know. Within everything else that she's been dealing with, I'm glad that we've not also had to deal with, I posted this picture or, you know, this other message came through. Like, we've not had to deal a lot with that other external drama. We've just been dealing with, you know, like, more traditional adolescent problems coming from her. And it's exhausting.
I thought it would be a good idea to let me be a father.
I do not know. But today I just had to call for help because it was a lot. And it's just the patience that you have to have to let them, whatever, there was this one issue of wanting to do something, but everybody else was doing something else, and what did she want to do? And, like, to get at the root of what is it that you ultimately want, okay, of this problem, the patience it takes to allow her to work through all of that. When you're sitting there going, the answer is this, the answer, what you need to do is this, but she has to come to this conclusion on her own. It's exhausting, and I just don't have... I today had no patience for that. But at the same time, I don't want to just blanket come in and be like, okay, you're an idiot. You're not like punitive to something. And so like I spoke with her, then Gary talked with her, then we let her go talk to friends and she comes out smiling, laughing and, oh, well, we've got to figure it out. And I'm like, I did, like lost 3 hours of my life to this incident, you know? And I just think there's got to be an easier way. But you got to wake up and you got to do it again tomorrow because something else will be the issue tomorrow. Like, does it end? Do we just like ignore her and move on and just let her figure all things and just fail on her own? Or I don't know. It's really hard.
I struggle with the relation, like relating to it. One, I'm not a girl yet.
Shocking.
Two, me at 13 and her at 13, they look nothing alike.
And there's no, and I think you feel like you can say that a lot, and that's going to change her mind. But it's
No. I don't think I know that her situation is 1,000% unique,
right?
To compared to mine, so. I go through bouts of like trying to listen and understand and mostly just make sense of what the fuck is she talking about.
It's a lot. It's so much.
I don't know. It's a.
But it is probably, I would think, one of our bigger conflicts right now in our home is trying to navigate her when we have a, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
We literally have a 4-year-old autistic kid that is not potty trained and
he's easy.
But right now, we're dealing in who has, you know, his own set of problems, but right now she is our bigger problem. And yeah. it causes me more stress, I think. Like that's something that I talked about.
Well, I don't help your stress level with the way I handle things.
No, I was going to say, like, in therapy, that's one of the things that, like, keeps coming up as a part of my anxiety is, like, raising her and dealing with her and you at the same time.
Do you feel like you're raising me, too?
I'm not raising you, but I feel like I'm raising her.
You've been a part of that process.
I feel like I'm raising her in, and then I'm also trying to manage your all's relationship, too, at the same time.
It's fair.
So it's been a source of anxiety for real, more than what I think teaching kids this age for so long, I never anticipated how hard it'd be to parent them. And to be fair, I've had parents come in a bazillion times to my classroom and be like, I don't know what to do with them. And I'd be like, of course you don't.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm like, I don't know what to do with her. I do, but I don't know if it's the right thing to do.
And you never know until after you've done it.
And I hate that because I'm a first child. And so like the whole, which I don't think I had the same type of parenting that she does at all. But the whole like stereotype of the first child being like the experiment. Like we're going to like experiment all this parenting and what we think is right. And then by the time we get to Harlan,
that's a great way to put it.
And then by the time we get to Harlan, we're like, yeah, well, what the hell? We're just tired. Good. Did we feed him today? Who knows? I think he ate four bags.
Master ain't going hungry.
He's not. He ate a whole pizza.
He called us from school.
Oh my gosh. I got a phone call.
Hey, Harlan was hungry. He ate his lunch as soon as he got here. Can you bring him some lunch?
I had to bring him extra lunch. What day was that?
Last week sometime.
I think we had like a virtual school day or something.
Yeah, because you were able to go.
I had to leave and go get him food. We are having virtual school, and I'm like, I'm going to have to go get him McDonald's because
he ate his lunch.
He ate his lunch for breakfast. Fatty.
And that's why I don't pack my lunch.
I do, but I'm smarter than that. I do, but I leave it at the other end of the hallway. In a refrigerator where I cannot get to it until lunchtime, which is crazy.
But oh, God.
I have to like.
That's hilarious.
God loving. But yeah, he is our seemingly easier child right now. And he's not even easy. We have this battle right now. And I thought I would figure it out. Which, in Gary's defense, Gary has been dropping Harlan off every morning. Just the timing works out where he has to do it. And for whatever reason, the drop-off is not a smooth drop-off with him in the mornings. He loves his school.
Mm-hmm.
I get this.
He does not like,
maybe I'm wrong, and maybe they're just going to say he does not like it here, but I get the sense that he's happy to be there.
But, yes.
But the drop-off part, if it does not go a certain way in his mind, it is a very difficult process where he screams and yells.
And this happened when he was in regular school, too.
Yes.
It became so easy for the first phase, right? The newness of it, like excited, hopped out, ran in. And then he got to a point where, like, Harlan became very attached to one of his therapists, and nobody could get him out of the car except her.
Yes.
And so when that switched off, like, it's even still, like, he has to get his temperature taken, and he's like, oh, get away.
He was, like, throwing. So I had to take him. Gary was at this training, and so I end up taking him, and I see what a hard process it is. Or no, we were virtual learning. Anyway, I had to take him. I'm like, that's not going to fly. Like, he is not going to act like this every morning. And Gary's like, welcome to my world. I'm like, why? We've got to do something about it. And so, which is just our personalities.
Right.
Different. Gary's just going to suck it up and be miserable about it. And I'm going to, like, change this behavior. I'm like, Gary, he was, like, taking swings at one of the teachers. While she's, like, I'm having to roll the window up because I'm like, he's going to come at her. While she was just taking his temperature, which you take this child in anywhere, he has only known life in public where he gets a temperature thermometer shot at his head. Like, he doesn't understand anything else. That's all he's ever known. So for whatever reason, he's just an asshole in the mornings. And so I create this whole social story of, like, I record my voice with pictures. We're going to get in mommy's car. We're going to hold still. It's time for your temperature. And he is eating this up. We're at home and he's watching it over and over again and, like, telling me the routine. And I'm like, oh, that's it. He just wants to be in charge of the routine. And he'll be excited about it again. No, none of that. Like, he loves the social story. He loves watching it. He'll tell you about it. Still cannot go through a smooth drop-off. But once the door is open to the car,
he's good.
He gets out and he's like, let's tiptoe in. And it's all good.
Yeah. Like, I make sure, like, one of the things is I'll hold his lunchbox outside the window.
Yeah.
And he has to come get it.
Yeah. Now, he did run. He ran. I had to take him in late one morning during one of our mini snow days. And I had to take him in late. And we get to the door and you're supposed to ring the doorbell. He was great. I was like, this is because Gary told me how rough those days could be. And we're happy. I'm like, we are happy. And he's like showing me the rocks. That little shit took off running like all the way down the parking lot. Like, I thought we were going to make it to the bypass. I did not know that he was going to stop. And thank God there was just a really big pile of ice and snow that he got, like, intrigued by, that he stopped and sat in, soaking wet, sat in it. And I was like, great, like, I thought this is it, like, I was gonna see my kid, because there's a parking lot where, like, ambulances and stuff come out of in the front of the building, and I was like, he's gonna get smashed.
We fix that, though.
There's a new system for that that involves him not getting out of the car. Like, we just can't let him out. But even with all of those problems with him, he's easier in a sense. That stuff still stresses me out with him, but we are stuck on a lot of little routines right now, and he's not had one, so
I know. And this little break is not going to help anything at all.
Could you imagine him having been home for 15 days? What we would have done? We couldn't have made it.
Rehomed him. I don't know.
We could not have made it. We could not have made it. It would not have gone well. So, man.
That's where we are, guys, in life.
Yeah.
Dealing with everything. But you know what? We've done it with a smile on our face for the most part. Yes. I, again, want to reiterate how hard I flirted with Abby.
Almost to the extent I feel like it's a little selfish. Like, I feel like you're flirting, and I'm like, just leave me alone, man. Like, I see you're there. I love you with all my heart, but like, my head hurts.
Trying to instill some confidence in you.
Oh, wait, you think I'm ugly? I'm an ugly girl who needs confidence.
The fuck is wrong with you? Come on now.
I'm just asking.
You know, I don't fuck with ugly people.
Oh. Cheers. Okay. Oh, God, love you.
We hope everybody has a wonderful week ahead of them. Lots of.
I think we're getting more snow.
Good health. And yeah, I don't care about the snow.
But I'm just saying, like, go buy food now, I guess. Go stock up.
Teresa.
I think that's only a southern thing.
Maybe. I don't know. I'll have to dig into it.
Does everybody stock up for food before? Or is it just people? What is it about us that makes us think, oh God, a snowstorm's coming?
Bread and water, baby. Or bread and milk. Milk sandwiches.
I did see somebody say, I did see somebody say that in the north, they were like, or places, they're like, we don't, like bread, what do y'all do? Liquor. Like they go and get alcohol and booze. And I was like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, in the
but
south,
that will
we're
not
like,
be a problem with this house.
Yeah, we'll be fine. But like people in the south are like, we got to make meals for everybody. I don't know. It's just so weird that.
Oh.
I don't know. But anyway, hope you have a great week, that you stay
healthy, wealthy, and wise.
Omicron. Omicron, is that what it is? I've been calling it so many weird things. I don't know its real name.
You call it Omicromney.
I call it Omicromney. We heard it on TikTok, and it's going to get you. It got me.
I love you.
I love you.
I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thanks.
Thanks, everybody.
Have a good week.
Give us a little episode to share if you found some value in it. Or if you hate Jason Ellis.
Oh, my God.
I'm just kidding, Jason.
Bye. We got y'all open, now you're floating, so you got to dance for me. Don't need no hateration, holleration in this dancery. Let's get it percolating while you're waiting, so just dance for me. Come on, everybody, get on now, cause you know we got to get it wrong. Mary J is in the spot tonight, and I'ma make you feel alright.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.